There is no thrill like there is in being a Christian. And there is no glory like the end of that way. But the way to glory has never been an easy way.
That was Dr. Doug McLaughlin, our speaker on Living Redemptively, a daily program featuring messages from God's Word designed to help you have an authentic walk with the living God. Dr. McLaughlin served for many years as the pastor of Fourth Baptist Church in Plymouth, Minnesota, and has also served as a Bible college and seminary professor, and has traveled around the world speaking at pastors and educators conferences. We invite you to join us now as Dr. Doug McLaughlin shares today's lesson.
Our subject is the essence of Christian service, and that seems to me to be the burden of the Apostle Paul in the first seven verses of 2 Timothy chapter 2, the essence of Christian service. And Paul wants to give us in verses 1 to 7 three facets of the essence of Christian service. The first he gives to us is the qualification of a servant, and that is in verse 1. The qualification of a servant, he must be a son of God. He must be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. The occupation of a servant is in verse 2. In a word, it revolves around the preservation and the transmission of God's truth. Then Paul goes on in verses 3 to 7, and he gives us the third facet of the essence of Christian service. He's given us the qualification of a servant, verse 1. He's given us the occupation of a servant, verse 2. And now he gives to us the illustration of a servant in verse 3. And he gives us three illustrations. One, he says, a true servant of God is like a soldier. A true servant of God is like a soldier. And that's what he says in verses 3 and 4. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier. The emphasis there is on single-mindedness. And then he says, you're like an athlete. That's the second illustration. And that would be in verse 5. If any man also strive for masteries, or compete or contend in the games, literally is what the Greek says. Yet is he not crowned, except he strive lawfully. He says, you're like an athlete. And the emphasis there is on the self-discipline of an athlete. And then he says, beyond that, you're like a farmer. With the emphasis, stick-to-itiveness. The husbandman that laboreth sticks by the stuff. The farmer that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruits. Now, first of all, Paul says in terms of an illustration, you Christian servants, you people who name the name of Jesus Christ, you who have been born into God's family, you who have been saved, he says you are to become involved in Christian service. And fundamental to that concept is learning to function as a soldier functions in warfare. A good soldier is a man who is willing to do at least three things. And Paul gives those three things to us in verses 3 and 4. Number one, a soldier is a man who is willing to suffer. And then secondly, he's a man who's willing to separate. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life. Thirdly, Paul says, he is a man who is willing to serve, that he may please him, serve him, please him, do whatever he says, obey him instinctively, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. Now let's talk about this for a moment. Paul says, first of all, that a man who is a soldier, a man who's a real servant of God, is willing to suffer. He's willing to endure hardness. Soldiers on active duty do not expect a safe or an easy time. They take hardship, risk, and suffering as a matter of course. They recognize these things to be part and parcel of a soldier's calling. I think too many times we don't recognize that. We don't understand the implications of what it really means to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. Soldiers on active service do not expect a safe or an easy time. They take these ingredients, risk, hardship, suffering, as a matter of course. They know that it's part and parcel of a soldier's calling. In any sphere of life, men must be confronted with the facts. Even when a man becomes a Christian, he needs to be confronted with the facts. Paul says, I'm facing you with the facts, Timothy. In order to be involved in Christian service in the biblical sense of the term means that you will be a soldier. You will accept the hardship, the risk, the suffering, the rejection, the difficulty that attaches itself to the martial arts, to the military syndrome. To be a servant of God, you must be a soldier of Jesus Christ. In any sphere of life, men must be confronted with the facts. If a young man expresses a desire for scholarship, I want to be a scholar, I want to be a professor, then we must say to that young man, good, but are you prepared to scorn delights because that's what you'll have to do to be a student? to scorn delights and live laborious days and nights? Are you prepared for it? When an explorer is building up his team, he must weed out the romantics and the realists. Jesus was always doing that. In his evangelism, in his witness, he was always weeding out the romantics and the realists. And often he sent away empty those who had come to be his disciples because they didn't understand what it meant to be a disciple of Christ. When an explorer is building up his team, he must do the same thing. He must say, it's good that you want to be an explorer, but are you prepared for the snow and the ice? Are you prepared for the swamps and the heat? Are you prepared for the exhaustion and the weariness of it all? When a young person wishes to become an athlete, and Paul was always referring in his allusions in the New Testament to athletic syndromes and contexts, when a young person wishes to become an athlete, the trainer must say, good, it's a fine occupation. But are you prepared for the self-denial and the self-discipline that alone will win you the eminence of which you dream? A man must be confronted with the facts. Now, none of these things are designed to discourage enthusiasm. None of this is to discourage enthusiasm, but it is to say that that enthusiasm, which is not faced with the facts, will soon be dead ashes instead of a flame. The Christian terrain is strewn with a wreckage of those who began and never finished. They never understood the implications of being a disciple of Jesus Christ, that it wasn't just fun and games, that it was a challenge, that it was an awesome and a powerful life, but not an easy life. I think we do Jesus, and I think we do our friends a grave disservice if we ever lead people to believe that the Christian way is an easy way. There is no thrill like the way of Christ. I want to say it. There is no thrill like there is in being a Christian. And there is no glory like the end of that way. But the way to glory has never been an easy way. It's been the way of a cross. And so Paul is helping Timothy to face the facts. Timothy, do you want to be a Christian? You have become one. Do you want to be one in your everyday life? Timothy, do you want to be a Christian? Do you want to be a servant of God? Fine. That is wonderful. There is no life like this life we have in Jesus Christ. There's no thrill, no glory like the end of that way. It's a wonderful life. But remember, Timothy, it involves the dangers which confront a soldier. It involves the rigors which confront an athlete. It involves the labors which confront a farmer. Paul says to Timothy, he says to us, if you want to live a life of easygoing self-indulgence, if that's what you want, all green lights down Broadway, everything easy and comfortable and convenient, if you want to live a life of easygoing self-indulgence, whatever you do, do not become a Christian. If you suffer from moral anemia, take my advice, steer clear of the Christian experience. But Timothy, and he says to every one of us, if you want a life of adventure, if you want a life of challenge, if you want a life of meaning, if you want a life of greatness, if you want a life of relevancy and power and joy and peace and with eternal implications attached to it, whatever you do, receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Do it now, without reserve and without delay. Come to Christ. Paul says, to be a servant of the Lord means to be a soldier. That's the essence of Christian service. It means you'll be willing to suffer. It may not be a life of easygoing self-indulgence. It may not be easy, but it will be great. Your life is not a playground. It's a battleground. Christians are not called to a circus. They're called to a conflict. And they're given the grace and the power and the presence of the Lord to withstand the embattlements of that conflict. The servant of the Lord is a soldier of Christ, and it means he's willing to suffer, endure hardness. It means something else, and that is that he's willing to separate. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life. He's willing to be a separatist. He's willing to divest himself of those interests that would attach his roots too deeply to the things of this life, and he's willing to invest himself unreservedly and completely in the things of God. He knows what Jesus meant when he said, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and these other things second and third and fourth. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. That phrase, warreth, no man that warreth, means literally on active duty. It's an interesting phrase in the Greek New Testament. It describes a man who's in the state of soldiering. You can translate it that way. No man on active duty. No man in the state of soldiering. entangles himself with the affairs of this life. Paul wants us to know that Christians are not on furlough. Sometimes you get that impression, but they're not on furlough. They're not even in stationary quarters. They're on active duty, and that's the word he uses. No man that warreth, no man that's involved in soldiering, no man that's on active duty entangleth himself with the affairs of this life. That word entangleth means literally to weave or braid together. He doesn't weave or braid together his lifestyle with the things of this world. It envisions, it pictures a soldier's weapons entrammeled, caught or bound up in his cloak, so that out on the battlefield he's rendered inoperative. His weapons are bound up in the cloak. He's helpless, he's inoperative, he's non-functional, he's defeated by the enemy. The term is in the middle voice. It's a reflexive voice in Greek. He entangleth himself. That's the way it always happens. We like to say the devil made me do it, or somebody else made me do it, or my environment made me do it. He entangleth himself. It's in the middle voice, the reflexive. The activity of the verb comes back upon himself. It's by an act of our own volition in response to the seductions of this world that we move toward entanglement with the affairs of this life. And that can only have a devastating and ruinous effect on our Christian service. So Paul says that the Christian devotion and service is not only costly, he will have to suffer, it's also concentrated. He must be separate from all other interests. Once a man has been enlisted on a campaign, he can no longer be involved in the ordinary daily affairs of life. For him, the affairs of this life become secondary, and the things of Christ become primary. You know, I've noticed a nucleus of people that are just like that. People who are out in the workaday world, and they have responsible positions in their jobs and so on, but I can see by what they say and what they do and what they reflect to me as a pastor that their primary interest is the things of God. And these other things are just incidental to help them on the way until Jesus comes or they go to be with him. And I want you to know, men, I admire you. The affairs of this life become secondary and the things of Christ become primary. You know, the Roman Code of Theodosius said, we forbid men engaged on military service to engage in civilian occupations. So the Christian soldier is not to become entangled in the affairs of this life. You know, that word life is bios. We get our English word biology from it. He's not to become entangled in the affairs of biological life, purely earthly pursuits or human affairs. He's to take his biological and his spiritual life and invest it in the things of God. The Christian must concentrate upon his Christianity. This does not mean that he is forbidden to engage in any earthly task or business. He must still live in the world, and he must still make a living. But what it does mean is that he must use whatever task he is engaged upon, whatever his job may be, whatever his occupation may be, he must use whatever task he is engaged upon to demonstrate his Christianity. He simply uses it as a channel through which he may reflect and radiate to those in his world of influence what Jesus Christ means to him.
Thank you for joining us for Living Redemptively with Dr. Doug McLaughlin. Dr. McLaughlin served for many years as the senior pastor of Fourth Baptist Church in Plymouth, Minnesota. For more information on Fourth Baptist, visit their website at fourthbaptist.org. That's fourthbaptist.org. Living Redemptively is produced in partnership with Harvest Ministries on the island of Guam. If you would like to receive a copy of all the messages in this series, or if you have any questions about what you've heard, we invite you to contact Living Redemptively at P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921. That's P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921. You can call area code 671-477-6341, extension 260. That's area code 671-477-6341, extension 260. You can also download this program in a daily podcast. Learn more at hbcguam.net. That's hbcguam.net. Finally, if you'd like to email Living Redemptively, email khmg@hbcguam.net. Coming up next time on Living Redemptively.
We confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. We do it to the glory of God. Every man will do it eschatologically at the end of the age. We can do it freely and voluntarily here and now.
That's coming up next time on Living Redemptively, helping you to live an authentic Christian life.